Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville. Soon we'll go out to Dallas, Arlington, AT&T Stadium, the site of Thursday Night Football. Tony Baselli is an analyst for Westwood One. He'll join us in about 20 minutes or so here on the program. We'll break down the Thursday Night Football game. Plenty to get to ahead of the Jags and the Colts this Sunday as well. We'll take some calls early tonight. We're going to open the phone lines on Thursday, 355-NFL-1, and get some thoughts about the Jags moving ahead into Week 13.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you wearing special shoes on Sunday? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you have a cause?
Well, I've got plenty of causes. But
do you have cleats?
I don't have cleats. I do wear shoes occasionally, but most of my broadcast day is behind this desk. Nobody would see them.
Well, because this Sunday is my cause, my cleats day in the National Football League, where players have their artists do a lot of magic to their shoes that represents the charity that they
represent.
Art
is not magic, okay? Art is an art form.
Well,
it's real.
Look, JP, when you're not very artistic, okay, like me, when you see what some of these people are able to do on shoes, that is magic.
Yeah. What would you have had on your cleats had they had this when in 1989 or 90?
What cause?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of causes that I support, and I don't want
to
offend.
We don't have to go into
I don't want
to
offend one of them by not mentioning them. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of great causes, and I might have, in a perfect world, I would have had a mural. I would have had multiple causes on my cleats, you know.
Which is some of the guys
that
are doing
pretty
that.
Cool.
Some of the guys are doing that. One shoe has one thing, another shoe has the other.
Yeah, so that would have been cool.
Hey, I think there's over 40 Jaguars players participating, and if I hear, I think I heard right. It's the most players for any NFL team participating in this thing, which
really?
Is really cool.
Yeah, well, look, I wonder if Dante Fowler's cleats will have the spikes like he wore on draft night.
Him and Jalen, right? Didn't Jalen have something close to that, too?
I think he definitely had something working on his as well.
Pretty cool to see, though.
Hey, look, the cleats will be cool, and I hope it makes them faster. Right? I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's not about the cleats. I mean, it's cool, but the nice thing about it is, look, it's a cool thing that the NFL has allowed the players to do because, I mean, the league office has to approve everything when it comes to game day uniforms. Everybody typically has to abide by a very strict rules when it comes to uniforms.
Uniform police is patrolling the sideline pregame,
every game,
man. Absolutely.
Every game, and it's good that they allow the players to do this, and at the end of the day, there's going to be a way that, you know, these cleats can be they're going to be auctioned off, and I believe to raise money for the charity or whatever. So a cool thing to do, and look, the more players that participate in it, the better. The more money that can be raised for great charities and great causes.
Yeah, I never show my feet on a broadcast, so I think I'm out on that this week.
That's okay. Well, you can put your feet up on the desk and just hold the mic, and people can see your shoes on game day.
I think I might have to do that then. I'll have to get an express order in. Injury report. Let's get to that quick.
Yeah.
Phone line's open, 355-NFL-1. So offensive linemen are back in the practice field. That's number one. That's a good thing. Parnell and Omame are both limited this week, but they're out there. That's the good news. Telvin Smith is not out there. That's the bad news.
Alan Hearns as well has not been out there.
His last few weeks he's been out. So the feeling for Telvin's not very good right now. If you haven't practiced yet in a concussion week, you're probably not going to go.
Well, and I think also part of that, you know, with the awareness that's been around the National Football League now with concussions, you know, you've got some articles that have been written lately that have been highly critical of the way that the NFL has handled some of the concussions. Russell Wilson, you know, goes into the tent on the sideline, is very briefly in the tent for maybe a second or two, and then he's out and says he's okay. Well, there's not a whole lot of analysis that can be done in a matter of seconds in the blue tent in that situation. Telvin Smith played, okay, comes out after that hit with the tight end. The report is he's being evaluated for concussion. He goes back in, and then he's pulled back out later in the game. You know, so I think the league is very sensitive to some of the concerns that are and the perception of how concussions are being diagnosed and treated. Look, the Jaguars have a phenomenal medical staff. You know, so I know that from personal experience that they are top-notch, that they're doing it the right way. But perception is also important to the league. So I don't expect Telvin to play this week. I also don't expect the center for the Indianapolis Colts, Ryan Kelly, to play this week. You know, because, I mean, when these guys sustain something like that, you know, it kind of looks kind of iffy if they're back so quick, you know.
Yeah, that's the big question, though, on the defensive side. How do the Jaguars take the place of Telvin Smith? How do they replace that?
Well, base downs, you know, and they had a mistake in last week's game because I think what they did is they put Laurenti McCray in at Sam and tried to move Miles Jack to Will in the game, okay? And on that play, there was confusion, and that's where you have the 29-yard touchdown pass to the tight end down the seam. And because there was confusion on that play, they ended up using a timeout. Now, when they come back from that, Blair Brown is playing the Will, and Miles Jack goes back and where he, you know, was at to start the game at the Sam position. And I expect that this week that they will do that. Now, look, if there was, you know, a significant injury to Telvin, I think long term you would probably consider having Miles Jack at Will because that's probably a more natural position for Miles Jack. So base downs, okay, Blair Brown's got to step in and play Will. When you go to nickel, Paz will now be on the field with Miles Jack. And I would expect that you keep Miles Jack in the same role that he's been in and then let Paz play where Telvin has been at. So
wow, that's a lot of moving around,
well,
by the way.
I think that by doing it that way, you're minimizing the moving around. You know, because the play that they got caught on the seam, you're trying to do a lot of moving around by putting McCray in at Sam, and then you got to move Miles Jack over to the Will, okay? That's a lot of moving around. So you're basically changing two positions because of one injury at the one position. So wherever Telvin was at, now Blair Brown just steps in and plays it on base downs. Okay, where Telvin was at on nickel, now Paz steps in and plays that one position. So you're not trying, you know, because the argument is made, do you weaken two positions? And I know some people disagree with that statement. Some coaches would disagree with that. But my position has always been, you don't potentially weaken a second position by moving a guy to compensate for an injury. You leave everybody where they are. And then wherever that player is hurt at, and he has to come out, you insert a player into that spot, and you don't change anything else.
And by the way, Miles Jack is still on the field every down, so he would wear the headset
which
in his
he
helmet,
has,
which he has all year
which
long.
Which he has all year long, so there's really no change
there. No big change there at all. Wide receivers, it's been – the guys are banged up. Hearns is out, of course. A-Rob's out for the year. So those two guys are down right now. Marquise Lee has been on the report the last few weeks with a knee issue, but he's, you know, practiced late in every week and played on Sunday. The drops thing.
Six of them.
Yeah, where do you start with drops? Not just for Lee, but for the rest of the group, too.
Well, there were six of them in that game.
Okay.
And it wasn't just on the wide receiver group, okay? Mercedes had an opportunity where they called the interference, which I would disagree with that call. I don't think it was interference. That was an opportunity for Mercedes to make the catch. He's got to make that catch. Okay, the other tight end, James O'Shaughnessy, had a great opportunity against Buda Baker in the end zone.
Great throw.
One-on-one opportunity. The ball was right where it needed to be. O'Shaughnessy just needed to turn around, body up, and get two hands on it and go up from a powerful position, which they call that playing big. They didn't make the play. Okay, Keelan Cole had two opportunities. The one that was early in the game where he was one-on-one against the corner, not the one that he was on Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other one, he has two hands on that ball in the corners, doesn't even have his head back around. You got to make that catch. Okay, the other one you could argue a little bit because Tyrann Mathieu was draped over the top of him and borderline interference play. He's got to make that catch. Marquise Lee, you don't even have the debate about the coach deciding to throw the ball on second and eight. If Marquise makes that catch, which was uncontested, it was dead on the money in his hand. Make the catch. You know, so it was Cher, JP. TJ, y'all didn't have a drop. You know, so every position group, running back, tight end, wide receiver, all of them had a drop. They got to make the catches this week. Plain and simple. Against a Colts defense, okay, that is weakened, that doesn't have a great pass rush, against any team, you got to be able to make the plays when given the opportunity. And there are some young players, you know, D.D. Westbrook, you know, Keelan Cole, they're young players.
Yep.
But look, here's the deal, okay? You got 11 games under your belt. I know D.D. doesn't have 11 games under his belt.
That's correct.
Okay? But it is going to be what month?
December. Yes, tomorrow.
Okay? You're not a rookie anymore. Okay, it's December. Start playing like a veteran, make the catch.
I like that. I'm motivated right now.
You fired up?
I am. I'm ready to go make some. I'm going to hit the jugs machine on the way out of here.
You dropped the ball.
Oh, come on. I got great hands. So, this Jaguars defense, last time out, 10 sacks against the Colts. They only had one sack last week, and it was a sack that Blaine honestly kind of ran into off to the right, the sack fumble touchdown.
Clearly ran into
technically.
It. I mean, left the pocket when there was nobody there.
It was classic Blaine Gabbert, by the way.
It was actually a very good job of the right tackle on Ngakoue.
Yeah.
And rode him up the field. And then Gabbert, for some reason, you know, departs. And if he had just stayed right there, he would have been fine.
So this group that is the best sacking group in the National Football League, they're thirsty right now, my friend.
Well, they should be. And this is a good game to be thirsty in. I think it's a great matchup. I think that, first of all, Ngakoue had an excellent game the last time out against Costanzo. So I think he's going to feel very confident about where he's at. Calais Campbell, I think, is confident against anybody. And I think he would do a fantastic job against Joe Haig, who has played at the majority of his career as a right tackle and at right guard. So when he goes to a sub situation, when nickel pass rusher, he's going to kick down on the inside. That's a great matchup. I think he's going to be able to take advantage of. The center situation, I think, is going to create opportunities with some games. Dante Fowler, I think, is a good matchup for the right tackle, Denzel Good. Denzel Good's a big body. He doesn't have great feet, okay? And Dante has great quickness and great speed. What a great matchup for him this week. So Malik Jackson, I think, matches up very well against the left guard, Jeremy Vuinovich. So I did say that correctly.
Yeah,
because I wrote the spelling down phonetically. Okay.
Wow. Good old trick there.
I'm not going to butcher a name like Baselli.
Well, we'll come back and hear from the butcher.
Ask him. Okay, let's ask him.
Yeah.
What the name of the starting left guard of the Indianapolis Colts is. Okay, let's see how he does.
We'll test him when we return.
Remember, okay, everybody listening, the correct pronunciation is Jeremy Vuinovich. Vuinovich, okay?
Okay, we got it.
You got it?
Everybody got it.
Okay, and we'll get Tony's interpretation of the pronunciation when we get him on.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Tony Baselli, the butcher from Dallas. When we come back, it's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, after we racked up those first two games with the rushing yards, defense just started throwing a certain defensive front at us. You know, it's a copycat league, so every team is going to see film, see how they stop it, and that's what they're going to do. When that time rolls around throughout the game, we just got to be able to adjust to that, and when it happens, be on our P's and Q's so we can see it on the field and be able to block those fronts when we see them. You know, because I feel like throughout certain games, you know, they come out of nowhere, and we're like, you know, we go out there and try to block it, and we don't have the numbers, so we just got to be smart and adjust to when we see those defensive fronts on the field.
That's A.J. Cann, right guard for the Jags. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We go now to AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas for this Thursday night football matchup. It's the Washington Redskins at 5-6 and the Dallas Cowboys at 5-6, great old rivalry. And on the call for Westwood One Radio tonight, analyst Tony Baselli is with us. And Tony, our first question is, can you say the left guard for the Indianapolis Colts name?
I haven't even started with the Colts. I have no idea who it is. Who he is?
Well, I mean, it's the guy. Okay, it's spelled Vuinovich. How do you pronounce that again?
Doge.
Yeah, close enough. The Butcher lives. Tony Maselli on the phone with us.
All right, hey, my first question is, okay, you've been telling us for a long time about how good the press box food in Dallas is.
Oh, it was outstanding. It was outstanding. What is this outstanding salad? I can't even describe it. Fresh greens and nuts and all kinds of stuff with this. I think a homemade dressing. They had that and some green beans, and the mac and cheese is the best, some of the best mac and cheese here. They had a carving station of prime ribs and chicken. What else do we have? They had desserts, cookies, and cupcakes. It's outstanding.
You just had Thanksgiving dinner there just a few days ago, Tony.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was outstanding here as well.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that at all. Hey, Tony, there are a couple offensive linemen back on the practice field this week. Parnell and Omame are both limited the Wednesday and Thursday. That's a good sign moving ahead here. Especially Parnell. I know you're more on the Cam Robinson's not playing well lately train right now, but how important is Parnell to this group coming back, if he comes back?
Oh, it's huge. I've been saying it for weeks. I said it at the beginning of the year and the end of last year. The guy does not get the credit he deserves. He had a rough start of the season last year, ended it very well. He's been playing very good football this year, right tackle. And I thought it would be a huge loss when he was out. I think Josh Wells did a fine job, but he's not Jeremy Parnell. There's a physicality he brings to that line. And he's been pass blocking very well this year. So I think they need to get him back. They need him.
All right, so I got a question for you because Patrick Omame has practiced the last 2 days on a limited basis. Chris Reed started the last two games, played very well at Cleveland last week, had a couple problems with some games, the TEs passing off. If you were the offensive line coach and it was your decision to name a starting left guard this week, would you go back to Patrick Omame or would you allow Chris Reed to stay at the left guard spot?
How healthy is Omame?
Well, no, let's assume that, you know,
so he's ready to go.
They're healthy. He's ready to go.
Okay, healthy. I go back to Omame for a couple reasons. You could argue the line was playing the best they had at any time this year when they had their starting five out there. Two, you had a young left tackle who played his best football when Patrick Omame was next to him. I'm not saying that's why, but there's a comfort there, I bet. I mean, you start playing next to a guy, now there's a communication, there's just a, I don't say security, but just you get in a rhythm. And so I go back to, if it's all things are equal, I'm going back to Patrick Omame.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I think Chris Reed has earned another opportunity. You know, and I don't think that.
I think he's played well. He's not. They really struggled on the twist, and so they're going to get attacked. They're going to get attacked in that area.
Well, as they should.
But I guess my question would be, Jeff, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think Chris Reed did some really nice things, but did Patrick Omame do anything to lose his job?
Well, you and I both know that that doesn't really matter.
No, I know it doesn't, but I'm saying from your – that's why I'm saying it's so close, and I think you and I would both agree they played their best football as a unit when their starting five were out there.
No, but I also think that, look, this is an offense that over the last three games has struggled to run the football at a highly effective rate, okay? And I think Chris Reed is a better run blocker than Patrick Omame. I think long term, I think that Chris Reed is probably more, and I'm not saying anything to slight Patrick Omame because I thought he played very well up until, you know, he had the injury when they had to take him out of the game. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Reed could potentially give you more of a mauling type blocker in the style of football that you want to play. I mean, you go back and look at that Cleveland game where he was taking.
Yeah, but their best rushing yards were when Patrick Omame was in there. The statistics would say otherwise. Best days when the starting five were in there.
But you also had Parnell healthy, Cam Robinson healthy. So, you know, it's a great debate. I don't know if there is a right answer.
I was going to say, if Chris Reed started, I won't be disappointed. I don't think like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they started him. I think Jeff, both of you and I probably could very easily take the other side and argue just as passionately the other way.
Absolutely.
Last time out against the Colts, Tony, this was the most balance we've seen this Jaguars offense all year. The run game without Fournette even, that was when he had the ankle issue. Blake Bortles had one of the best days he's had in a Jaguars uniform. And of course, with the defense, all that combined, it was a shutout and all that.
Okay, so I'm saying all that.
Yes.
Okay, well, you're talking about the matchup. I want to ask Tony this one question. I guarantee he will give you the answer that I have talked about.
I can't wait to hear it.
Which player on the Colts defense gives you any type of fear? I'm not talking about being scared of. But which player do you want to make sure that you account for on this Colts defense?
Well, there's pressure now. I'm trying to think. Linebacker Morrison.
Okay, I'm going to give you the starters. I'm going to give you the starters, okay?
Okay. Give me the starters. I remember I start working on the Colts tomorrow.
I know. Front seven guys, okay? Just these front seven guys, okay? Up front, okay. You got Marcus Hunt, Al Woods, and Jonathan Hankins. Okay, those are the three down guys, okay? And now for your backers, you have John Simon, Antonio Morrison, John Bostic, and Jabal Sheard. Which guy?
Jabal Sheard.
There you go.
Wow. There you go.
See?
You don't even talk.
And I said this. We have not. And I said this
no,
earlier.
No, just stop there. He's a pass rusher. He's physical. He plays very hard. And the way Cam's playing right now, it worries me. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about that on Monday night, Tony, about the reasons why. Why are some of those reasons, again, that Cam's not playing well?
Well, so it starts with his sets. His sets are getting sloppy. He's kind of, I don't want to say lunging out of his stance, but he's getting outside his framework. So all his weight's outside, so his change of direction is very difficult. When he gets pulled inside on his inside shoulder, he has no power inside because he's leaning out and he loses his balance quite a bit. At the same time, to compound that issue, he is turning immediately at the line of scrimmage. So you want to stay as square to the line of scrimmage or parallel your shoulders and hips to the line of scrimmage as long as possible. He is perpendicular immediately. And then three, in the run game, ever since he's hurt his ankle, his feet aren't moving. He used to go chase guys with his feet, meaning he'd get on top of them and would expand the hole. He's now position blocking quite a bit and not moving his feet like he once did, especially when he's going to block a go six technique, which is a wide six or a wide five, just a guy with no tie to the open end. He's way outside the tackle. He's not going to get that guy. And so, I mean, those would be the three main things that concern me that we did not, he's always had trouble with turning too early. It's a bad habit he's in. It's something he's got to work on in the offseason. It's very fixable, by the way. But he got away with it because his feet were good, his balance was good, and he might get exposed here or there, but not very often. But now with his balance all out of sorts, his weight outside the framework of his body, and turning, it's just a bad combination.
So some of that stuff, do you have to wait to clean some of that up, or is that fixable in December?
Well, part of it is.
I guarantee you, Flaherty is. And mentioning every one of these things in practice and drilling it and doing stuff.
Sure.
Now, the question is, and I'm pretty sure this is what Jeff was about to say, how much of this is due to the ankle? How much is he favoring that ankle? And is that why some of the balance issues that we've seen the last couple of weeks that we did not see early in the year have come, are showing up on film?
Yeah, because I give him credit now. I mean, he came back, toughed it out when he could now.
He did that in college, too.
Oh, no, he's a tough kid.
Never missed a game.
Right. I just think he has, when you look down the road, I think he's got, the potential to be a really good left tackle in this league. I mean, because when you look at
it, I disagree, Jeff. He has an opportunity to be a great left tackle.
Okay. And the reason I say really good, Tony says great, okay, from the waist down, he's got everything you want, okay? He's got size, he's got power, he's got the movement skills. And he has so much more to attain from the waist up. I mean, first of all, upper body strength. And then number two, the mental aspect of it and the finer points of playing left tackle. He's got a lot of room for growth. But, there are certain guys that come in, and I'll bring this up as an example. I remember, Mike Pearson, Tony, that was a draft pick, okay, that came from Florida. And when he walked in the door, you could look at him and go, you know what? When he's probably naturally 225-pound guy. Okay, when Cam Robinson walks in the door, you look at him and you go, man, he's a natural 300-pound guy. I mean, from the waist down I'm talking about. So, I mean, he's just a natural big man that has athleticism. And I think that when he gets stronger up top, he gets more experience, he gets more confidence, he gets better technique. He is going to be a really good football player.
All right,
he's a big human being.
Yes.
That's where he is.
He's a large, large man. Hey, let's come back, and we'll get to some picks. We didn't have a show last week, so we got to catch up from 2 weeks ago and see where everybody stands.
I'm pretty sure I was dominant 2 weeks ago.
You might want to think again. It's a lot of meals at Jerry's World between then and now, so that might have skewed your view happened. We'll find out when we come back. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
The league is an 8-8 league, and any team that wins four in a row, that shows you that the mental toughness that they have as a team, and we've done it once before, so why can't we do it again and make it five? That's the main thing that we got to focus on each week, because Arizona was on a three-game, they was rolling, and we didn't start off fast, so we have to start off fast this week and just maintain.
It's A.J. Boye in the locker room this week, talking about breaking that win streak last week in the loss to Arizona. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Tony Baselli's on the line from Dallas for tonight's Thursday night football game. This is a 5-6 game tonight. 5-6 Skins, 5-6 Cowboys. Things in Dallas have gone downhill in a hurry.
Good matchup, Tony.
How about this? Since Ezekiel Elliott got hurt, they're averaging 7 points a game, or 7.3, but just over 7 points a game. Dak has not thrown a touchdown. I mean, they're just awful on offense. And then no Sean Lee again tonight for the he's missed five games so far. They're 0-5 without Sean Lee. They give up 14 points more a game on defense without Sean Lee in there. I mean, yeah. It's just astounding, the numbers of just two players. And what it tells you to me is, and I think, you know, they got some good coaches, but, man, they're not doing a very good job. You can't be dependent on just two guys, especially if one of them is not a quarterback, or you just completely go in the tank with two injuries.
Not good right now. Not good right now. Meanwhile, Washington, Kirk Cousins' show continues. And how many more times can Washington keep him around there in one-year deals?
I don't know. If they franchise him again this year, it's $34 million he makes.
This would be the last year then, this season right now, probably.
I don't know.
$34 million? You'd pay him $34 million, Logs?
Look, I mean, the owner, Daniel Snyder, you don't think he'd be willing to pay $34 million to win?
What would you pay him a year to have him on the Jaguars, Log?
Not $34
million. I know that. Neither would I.
He's a franchise guy because he's going to be in the open market. I mean, you're going to have to be willing to pay $25 million a year.
You know, he has, since he's been a starter, I think I got the stat right. I don't have it in front of me. But he's the seventh highest rated quarterback in the time since he's been a starter in the NFL.
He's a franchise guy.
Wow.
I mean,
with bad teams around him, too, by the way.
$25 million a year guy.
That's what he's getting. He's going to get $25 a year.
Yeah. You know, and with the team he's had around him, he's still performed.
He's done a very good job. And I remember when the Redskins drafted RG3, and then they turned around and drafted him, I believe, in the fourth round, and they were widely criticized for it. How could you draft another quarterback in the same draft that you draft one in the first round? Well, that's why.
There you have it, right there. Okay, let's get to the results of 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a show last week. It was Thanksgiving. We were all eating. Tony was eating in Dallas. He's back in Dallas.
I was undefeated last week, by the way.
I'm sure you were. 2 weeks ago, I was 7-7. Baselli was 8-6 to lead the way, and Lagerman was 7-7 as well.
What?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Not good, Coach.
So I'm only three games behind you now.
That's right. I'm 101-59. Baselli's 98-62 for the season. Logs is 92-68.
If I remember correctly, I was taking some flyers trying to gain some ground. I'm going to continue to do so.
You better.
This is how we're going to do it for the rest of the way out. Whoever the leader is has to pick first.
Well, I pick first every time, and I'm still leading. Funny how that works.
You don't.
Yeah.
No, in the past, you've not picked first.
You're riding our coattails, Jake.
Well, in that case, I'm going to take Washington tonight.
Ooh.
I got the Redskins as well.
I got the Cowboys.
Vikings at the Falcons. It's a good game in Atlanta.
Game of the week.
And I'm going to take the Vikings on the road.
I got Atlanta.
Okay. Lions at the Ravens. Ravens are hot all of a sudden.
We'll take them then.
I think I will. Baltimore at home, Inner Harbor.
I like Baltimore too.
I'm taking the Lions.
Patriots at the Bills.
Is this the time
the Bills get them? Is this the one?
Well, could take them.
No, Patriots.
Patriots.
Yep, I'm taking the Patriots.
49ers at the Bears. What an awful football game that will be.
What are you talking about?
Quarterbacks.
Jimmy Garoppolo's getting his first start.
Garoppolo and Trubisky. Yeah, I guess you got quarterbacks in the game. Yeah, we've
Pick
had worse.
One.
Bears.
49ers.
Bucks at the Packers. Jameis Winston's going to go, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going Tampa.
Good.
I got the Packers.
Because I got the Packers, too.
Mm-hmm. Broncos at the Dolphins in Miami. Oh, gosh. Jay Cutler. Ugh.
Yeah, he's back in the lineup.
Ugh. Broncos quarterbacks. Ugh. Ugh.
That's not a good matchup.
They might tie. Can I pick a tie?
That's a tough one.
Broncos on the road. Why not?
Okay.
Dolphins.
I'm gonna take. When you can't pick, just take the home team. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Okay. Chiefs at the Jets. What happened to the Chiefs?
They're faltered a little bit, JP.
They are, and they're going to get back on track in New York. Kansas City.
I'll take Chiefs.
Yeah, I gotta stick with you guys. I can't take a flyer on that one.
Texans at the Titans. The Jags need the Texans to win, and I think they will. Houston on the road in Nashville.
Ooh.
Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stick with Tony and go Titans.
Okay, Browns at the surging Chargers all of a sudden. Chargers.
Josh?
Chargers.
The Browns are getting Josh Gordon back maybe, right?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's going to be activated.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Rams at the Cardinals. The Los Angeles Rams for me, please. Thank you.
Rams.
Okay. Panthers-Saints, good game in the NFC South. In New
Orleans.
Tough one. This is a tough one. It's not that tough. New Orleans is playing great football, and they're going to continue. The Saints.
They got beat this past weekend, but I'm going to go with the Saints.
This could be a one. I could get one.
Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm taking the Panthers.
Carolina. Giants at the Raiders. No Eli Manning in New York, so
Geno Smith ain't going to do it.
I don't care who's on the other side for the Raiders. Oakland's going to win that game.
Oakland.
I got the Raiders.
That's one of the worst managed benchings maybe ever.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Sunday night, Eagles at the Seahawks. Good game in Seattle.
Good one.
And a great test for the Eagles to see if they're truly for real on the road, and I think they are. Philly.
I like the Eagles.
I'm taking Seattle.
Steelers at the Bengals. Good old rivalry on Monday night in Cincinnati, and the Steelers are going to continue to stay hot. They haven't lost since the Jags beat them.
There might be a few fights before that game and during the game.
And after, right.
I'm going Bengals.
Really?
Oh, I'm going Steelers.
Okay. Colts at the Jaguars. I'm going to go Jags for the record.
Jags.
Yeah, I think we all are. Okay, so there you have it. The picks are in. Tony.
I'm feeling it.
Don't eat too much in Dallas tonight.
Too late.
Have a great
I had two helpings of mac and cheese.
I'm sure you did. We will talk to you on Sunday, Tony.
See you guys.
Tony Baselli from Dallas, Texas.
He'll overeating. Eat at halftime, too,
now. He probably hot dogs at halftime.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right?
He'll have some at halftime.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back and hit some notes around the National Football League. Our final thoughts about the Colts-Jaguars matchup coming up. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way with a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. Hear stories of great plays and explore areas normally off-limits to the public. Join us for a tour and see for yourself why the Travel Channel included Everbank Field on its list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit jaguars.com/everbank-field for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
basically you just want to watch the film that you previously went against and just see what you can learn from the mistakes you made and just build on top of that. This week, you know, we got a guy that likes to hold the ball a lot, so we definitely just got to take advantage of each and every opportunity we got versus the pass.
It's Yannick Ngakoue, 10-sack season, second-year player. A lot of sacks, a lot of sack fumbles in the first 2 years. J.P. Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli with us earlier on Jaguars Thursday, our final moments here of Jaguars Thursday this evening. Yeah, this is a pass rush dream game, really, set up, right, going in, because you had 10 sacks against this group last time. You're going into December in first place. You know they're going to throw the ball a lot, or going to want to throw the ball a lot, and you didn't have a sack last week. You had one sack as a unit last week. Yannick Ngakoue's having a great year, but this is one of those games that these guys are lathered up and ready to go.
Well, I think you go to what Yannick says there about how they'll hold the ball. And that's, you know, a characteristic of a young quarterback, pocket passer, and Jacoby Brissett. And so you have an opportunity for more sacks against a guy like that. You know, his eyes are still young. His arm is lively at times, but, you know, the decision-making, it hasn't started to speed up for him. You know, there was one play that I'll be showing coming up on Film Room Friday where it's against the Tennessee Titans where they sacked him 8 times.
Yes.
And they're bringing pressure.
Last week.
Yeah, this past week. Yeah. Okay? And they're bringing pressure. It's very apparent that they're not disguising it. Okay? So they've got 6 rushers coming. He's got an empty backfield. Okay? So do the math.
Uh-oh.
So there's going to be one person that's unblocked. So as a quarterback, you've got to be able to identify who it is that we can't block and go, okay, I know we can't block him. I've got to get the ball to my hot receiver or the quickest route that I've got. And he takes the snap, and he's looking to his left where there is no hot option. Okay, the quick routes are to the right. And there comes Arakpo and then sacks him. And then not only does he make some, you know, late decisions, there are times that he makes some very unaware, poor decisions because he'll drop back and then he'll take off and run. And all of a sudden you got defenders coming up. And then he'll slide, feet first, right? Protect yourself. He's doing it for like a 2 or 3 yard loss. You're like, just throw it away, okay? Incomplete, you know? And he makes decisions like that. So I'm sure that this defense is excited about the opportunity because he does have some late decisions. He holds the ball and also with the questions on their offensive line. But just because you got 10 sacks the last game doesn't mean you're going to get 10 this game. So you better be ready to play.
I know you love Ngakoue, right, as a player?
He's so good, and look, we had this conversation, and people were asking me about, you know, him versus Dante Fowler, and I think what I've said from the beginning is held true, and that I thought that Ngakoue was a much more advanced pass rusher than Dante Fowler, that he would have more sacks, and I think at the beginning of the year, when Tony and I were both talking about Yannick Ngakoue, that we said, hey, look, he may have maybe the same number of sacks, 8, or he may have 9, but he's going to be a better, more effective pass rusher because last year the number of opportunities almost equaled the number of sacks. The unique thing about him is, first of all, he's improved so much more. He's become effective not only as a right side pass rusher, which is where he's a little bit more comfortable at, but he's gotten better at the left side. He's kind of adapted a little different approach to that side. His ball awareness is off the chart, which – it typically takes young players a couple of years to learn, you know, to go for the ball and to be aware that there's opportunities when you go after the quarterback to get the ball out. You know, in his, 18 sacks in 27 career games number, that's unbelievable. The more incredible number is that on those 18 sacks, 8 of those sacks have been forced fumbles
as well. Yep.
I mean, that percentage is ridiculous. I love him because he's a student of the game. He's always trying to be better. He works very hard. He was clearly one of the hardest workers in training camp. But he has a gift. And his gift is that he's got great hips and he's got great acceleration. When I say hips, he has the ability to have his hips and his body moving in the direction that he wants to go and immediately doesn't waste any steps. And that's a unique ability. You can't teach that. You either have that or you don't. You know, and when you watch Dante Fowler, gifted athlete, great quickness, great speed, great hitting ability, but he doesn't quite have the hips that Yannick has. And that's not a criticism. It's just there's very few people that have been given that gift of having great hips. And he's a joy to watch. You know, obviously, having played the position, I watch those guys very closely. And I told him this last year. I said, look, I think you can be a great player, because you have the ability to be a great pass rusher. But in order for you to be a great pass rusher, you have to be on the field, and you have to be a better run defender. Because if you're not a good run defender, your snap count's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I give him credit, not because of what I've said. I think he's got inner drive. And I think he's got great coaching. You know, I think that Marion Hobby is an excellent coach. And so I think that they've done a great job. And give him credit because he's gotten better against the run. He's gotten better as a pass rusher. And having him paired with a guy like Calais and like Malik that can push the pocket has certainly benefited him in a big fashion.
Let's go around the National Football League and take a look at some stories from entering Week 13, the biggest around the league this week. Eli Manning benched as quarterback of the New York Giants, not for the up-and-coming superstar stud draft pick. Geno Smith is the starting quarterback this week for the Giants.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. I mean, no offense to Geno, okay? But you have a quarterback that has won you two Super Bowls, and to go to him, the reports are is that the team came to him and said, look, you know, we want to take a look at the other guys. Fine, if that's what you want to do, do it. But they came to him and said, you know, look, you have a career start streak intact. You know, we'll let you start, and then we're going to put Geno in.
Yeah, that didn't suit Eli well at all.
Are you freaking kidding me?
No.
I mean, if I was Eli – I mean, first of all, I got a lot of respect for him because I think he's handled it very well.
Sure. His press conference the other day in the locker room was almost broke down. Yeah.
Class. But, I mean, to actually have them go up to him and give him the opportunity to start to keep a streak alive and then take him out of the game, I mean, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Whoever made that decision to approach him with that, I don't know if it's, you know, Reese, the general manager, if it's their head coach who thinks he's the next Pat Riley with his hairdo. Mm. I mean, that's embarrassing.
I can't say much about hairdos, but I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, the firestorm in New York has been interesting to watch the last couple of days.
As it should be. You know, I mean, look, he gives them the best chance to win. You don't take out the guy. Look, I've never been a huge Eli Manning fan. I don't, you know, I think he's been a really good quarterback. I don't think he was ever elite. I know he's won two Super Bowls, and I give him a lot of credit for that because in those games he's had some unbelievable moments. But you know, that's not how you do things, you know. And it looks like a clear tanking job by the Giants. You know, and this was a team that was expected, or many people expected it, to be a division winner. You know, that because of their defensive performance last year, you know, the play of their offense. I mean, that's like in New York, of course. Once something like that happens and it's in New York, ooh.
Yeah, you've seen that firsthand.
It's the snowball effect, and it's a mighty big hill, mighty long hill to the bottom.
Very steep, too.
Mm-hmm.
It gets big quickly. Jimmy Garoppolo will make his first start of the season for the 49ers Sunday against the Bears. They're going to trim up the playbook of Shanahan a little bit to help Garoppolo out in his first start.
I think it's going to be exciting to watch how he does. I mean, what is it? C.J. Beathard was getting a start for them last couple games, the young player that they've got, a rookie. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be an immediate upgrade. You know, I don't know. You know, they say they're going to trim it up. I don't think they're going to need to trim it up that much. You know, he's a bright guy because here's how you know he's a bright guy. They say that the New England Patriots offense is one of the most complicated offenses that there is in the National Football League. That's why you rarely see, like when you watch, when we went to New England this year to have the practices,
training
the
camp,
joint
yeah,
practices,
sure.
When you watch Tom Brady on the field, he would not work with other wide receivers. He had his group, okay? He had his group, okay? Amendola, Edelman, and Cooks.
Yep.
Okay, and Gronk. You didn't see anybody else getting reps with him because he will not stand for somebody that's out there that doesn't know what they're doing. And it takes time to learn that. But that's supposedly one of the most complicated systems that there is. Jimmy Garoppolo had, you know, had very good success when Tom Brady went out. I think he's going to – in fact, I picked him. I picked the 49ers to mm-hmm. beat the Chicago Bears, so that ought to give you an idea of what I think of. I think he's a very good quarterback.
The Cleveland Browns have activated Josh Gordon from the commissioner's exempt list. He's appeared in 35 games since joining the Browns in 2012 as a second-round pick in the supplemental draft. And he's been out. Long time coming for Josh Brown.
When was the last time he played?
Oh, gosh.
14?
Yeah.
It's been a long time. And, you know, look, I hope that the young man ends up, more importantly, getting his life straight, because some of the stories that he told about using before athletic contests going way back to his youth was just crazy. And Joe Thomas actually talked at length, you know, his teammate, longtime left tackle for the Cleveland Browns today, talked at length about, look, there's going to be a lot of challenges that Josh Gordon is going to face. And he is. I mean, he's going to have a lot of challenges, and it's not going to be easy for him, you know, to be clean and continue to remain clean while playing football. And I hope he comes back and he plays, because he was an unbelievable talent.
Oh yeah, we saw that firsthand against us.
Yes, great talent, and I'd like to see him back. And I hope, more importantly, that he gets his life back in order.
All right, final thoughts. Jaguars-Colts coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock, Everbank Field. We're on the air at 10 o'clock with the Public's Tailgate Show, 12 noon for Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. There are some tickets available for this game, 633-2000, jaguars.com/tickets. So three-game packs are still available for this homestand coming up as well. So take a look at those, including that Seahawks game. But this Colts-Jaguars game, division matchup, second time you've seen the Colts. They're struggling. The Jaguars are coming off of the first loss in four games. Coming back home December, got to love this game.
Well, I think it's very important for two reasons that the Jaguars start fast. First of all, it plays into the way that they play really good football.
That's
with
right.
A lead. They can rush the passer.
Absolutely.
Number two is you have a Colts football team that has struggled this year. And so if you come out of the gate fast on them, and they're on the road, they're going to be discouraged, and they're going to be starting to think, much like this team has thought in years past, here we go again. And so, and the teams talked about it. They talked about the lack of the fast start in Arizona. And so that's why I think this team comes out. I think they're going to come out aggressive. I think they're going to come out aggressive throwing the football and making some opportunities happen down the field. And as I explained earlier, I think those opportunities are there to be had. And then once they get up a little bit, whoo, here comes the heat. Jacoby Brissett, get ready. Your jersey will not look like it does after a game on artificial turf.
It'll be fun. 1 o'clock on Sunday, and we're looking forward to being home. Three home games in December. I don't remember. I think John Osher has the statistics on one of his stories here late in the week of how many times that's happened in franchise history, especially when the team's this far up in the division have three consecutive home games in December. It's very rare anyway, but especially when you're in first place.
With the division race going on.
That's right.
I mean, does it lay out any better than that?
Nope.
You know, so, I mean, this is tailor-made for this football team. It's all on the plate. Now you just got to take a fork and get you one bite at a time.
I want to eat the whole thing right now, Logs.
JP.
Come on, man.
Just like Doug talked about, let's focus on the Colts.
No. We want the division. We want it now. Well done, Logs. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
You got it.
Jeff Lagerman, Hollywood Max Hockman, Scott Kushner sitting in tonight. I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.